Welcome to episode 4 of the TP Jiu-Jitsu podcast. We made it, and we're finally recording after a 8-month
hiatus.
Yeah. So we decided to do Enter the Fat Dragon for this podcast, and it was better than I thought it would be. I thought it was going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's actually a very high quality movie.
Yeah, there's actually some good production value to it and everything.
Yeah, there's a nice clear plot line. They have it all.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It's
but not really ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean it is, but yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Yeah. It was definitely a lot of fun still. So if you guys don't know, Enter the Fat Dragon has a really good actor in it. His name's Donnie Yen. He was like in Ip Man, Ip Man 2, and all those Ip Mans. Then he was also in the Star Wars story, Rogue One. He's sort of the blind guy, if you don't know.
That's how he got famous, right? It was a Star Wars movie?
Yeah, that's how he got famous first, just through Star Wars.
Then he went back in time and did all those cool karate movies.
Yeah. Jeez. I mean, I love Ip Man, though. Such a good movie. Again, I just realized there's the theme with Donnie Yen, though. He's always going against Japanese people. Because in the first Ip Man...
yeah. He's got a vendetta, huh?
Because in the first Ip Man, he has to, like, do, like... He's going to, like, a Japanese camp where he has to, like, fight against these... The best Japanese fighters and stuff. After he gets taken away from his village.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. If that wasn't an indication, Enter the Fat Dragon also has a battle against Japanese people. So, what would you say is like a good, quick, dirty summary of this movie?
Quick, dirty summary. All right, yeah. So you got your classic, cop, rogue cop. Not really rogue cop. He's a really good cop, right? It's his whole life, being a cop, right? But he does, he lets his personal life slide, right? By being a cop. And eventually he gets to a point where his actress girlfriend leaves him. And then, you know, the depression kicks in, right? He starts snacking. And then he puts on a little weight. And then he gets one last chance to redeem his job. So he goes to Japan to save his job. And then cue the epic showdown with the Yakuza.
Yeah.
And he's still fat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good summary. Yeah, that's just basically it. And he beats Yakuza.
Cliff notes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes, spoiler alert, the good guys win.
Yeah. So we start the film with a little bit of narration saying, you know, there's three rules in life. You know, I don't quite remember what the three rules were.
I can't tell you either.
Yeah, and we just learn his name is Fallon Zhu. And like Jimmy Fallon or
Fallon.
I'm going to say Fallon, Nevada, just to throw it in there.
Very famous over there.
Oh, yeah. Very famous city, Fallon. But yeah, he's like, then he's just showing he's like this super like skinny dude. And
145 pounds, he says.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
66 kilograms for our international listeners.
He gets woken up, he wakes up, just goes through his routine, and he gets a call from his fiance, soon-to-be wife, and she goes, you can't be late to the wedding. Wedding photos.
Wedding photos, yeah.
Wedding photos, otherwise I'll leave you. He's going throughout his day, and he's just trying not to be a cop.
Yeah, he's just chilling.
Yeah.
Right?
He's just chilling, and all of a sudden, he's at the bank for some reason. I legit don't know why he's at the bank.
Nope, no idea.
Yeah, and also a bank robbery goes down.
Well, they show up, right, and they're in their coronavirus masks. They were ahead of their time. I don't know when this movie came out, but
it was filmed before Corona, though. I'll tell you that.
They've just got the... It doesn't look so weird now, right?
No, it looked totally normal. And it was just them covering up their face with these masks. That's all it was, you know? But I guess we should go back a little bit, because I did skip of when she called Fallon. By the way, the actress's name is Chloe, and when she calls him, she's like on the production set and she's trying to get this like movie filmed or show filmed. I'm not quite sure. They're like, the director needs you right away, and then they find out the director's just sleeping in his chair.
Yeah, he's totally passed out, doesn't even move.
Yeah, and they only have to do one more take, but then they didn't tell her that's a one continuous shot type of take. So it's going to be like the whole episode is one shot. So she has to get everything right. And then she gets up and then someone just kicks her off the building. Yeah, and he's like,
we weren't even recording. Do it again.
We got to do it over again. So they're just abusing her. I mean, I guess it was funny. I know how I described it wasn't funny, but it was funny.
Probably like many things in this movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to describe it and you're like, why did you guys think that was funny? It's going to happen a lot and it's fine. Anyways, back to the bank robbery. And gosh dang it, I just skipped a lot actually. I forgot even before that he ended up talking to his cop friend in the van.
Oh, yeah, when the van gets towed.
Yeah, the one van gets towed and then the other like traffic guy is going up to the other cop and he's like, hey, what show me your ID. You know you're parking the wrong spot. Yeah. And he just goes, hey, you're messing with official police business. You can't be impeding on this. And he's like, I hope you die in the line of duty. Says, the traffic cop.
May you perish in the line of duty.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Now we could finally get back to the bank robbery. So what happens during the bank robbery?
So they come in, right? There's like, I don't know, maybe 15 of them. 15 bank robbers?
Yeah, I think so.
And they come in, right? They're holding the bank hostage. They shut the lights off. Then they've all got these, like, super bright, like, stage lights almost. Like, portable stage lights. Shining them in the eyes. And they're like, all the valuables now. And then they go to the teller. They beat the hell out of him with the
stage lights.
It was, like, a lot of violence. I was like, wow. It's, and they're like, do you want to end up like him? And everybody's like, oh, my God. And then we see our hero.
Falone.
He envisions this action scene where he takes this kid's car from him and then he beats up all the robbers with it. And then he, you know, snaps back to reality and he goes to take the car and the kid won't let him have it. He's like...
And then all the robbers like, all right, we're going to kill you now.
Yep. And so, yeah, they kind of set it up like he's actually not good at martial arts. But then it turns out that he still is amazing.
Yeah.
And he goes on this tirade through the bank, destroying them.
Destroying all the bank robbers, and then the bank robbers finally escape to the van, and then we get this pretty long van fight scene.
Super long.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, they're all in the van, and they have one of the cops hostage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they have one of the cops hostage. Shing, if I remember right.
Is it Shing?
Yeah.
And then, I keep wanting to call him Donnie. And then Falone, Zoo, Mr. Zoo, goes, chases him down and gets in the... Well, he jumps on top of the van.
Yeah, he jumps on top of the van first.
Climbs up and he, like, pulls the driver's head and slams it. And then they crash. That's how he gets in, right?
Do they crash first?
Or does he just get in?
I think he just gets in.
And then they're still driving?
Because, yeah, they drive for a long while. And, like, the driver just takes up an extraordinarily amount of abuse through this entire fight scene.
I kind of think he died, but...
He should have. You know, the driver literally gets hit his head because of Falone.
Yep, and then they crash and he gets the airbag in the face.
That's right. And then he gets shot in the butt. He gets stabbed in the back.
With a huge, like, machete thing.
Yeah, with, like, a machete knife. And he's fine. He just goes, ah, and then keeps driving.
Yeah.
And honestly, I did like the van fight scene a lot. It was really cool just how they had that sort of close quarters combat there. Everybody getting thrown out. Basically, everybody died that got thrown out of that moving vehicle. Because
they
no
were
way.
Speeding.
Yeah.
On the highway.
And they just got thrown out on the pavement. Like, they just looked hurt. It looked painful.
But they should have died.
Oh, yeah. But I would say the best part is when... They have both the van doors off, and it's just mano y mano.
Yep.
You know, Falone and this other bank robber guy, and then you have these two news outlet vans pull up on the side with a video camera and a microphone.
Yeah, and then the one guy's like, he gets a call from his this news station or whatever, and he's like, what? Extend the fight. So he reaches in his bag and pulls out a hammer and gives it to the bad guy. Like Buffalo Wild Wings, you know? Like, send it to overtime. Yeah.
We're waiting our sponsorship. but, and then it's literally, then they go to the other side of the van and there's a different news outlet doing exactly the same thing. You know, hey, how are you feeling now? And just trying to like interview him mid-fight.
And they're like inches from their face with the microphone and the camera.
The best part is they have the vans colored in a specific way and they call themselves like off of fruit, off the color. So like one of them was called tomato and one of the other one was called banana.
Yeah, and they're all obviously the banana's all yellow.
Yeah, and then the red one was tomato. I don't know why tomato and banana instead of apple and banana, but you know, I guess tomato's funnier. Tomato is a funnier fruit because it's not quite a fruit.
There's a lot of thought.
Oh, yeah.
That naming scheme, huh?
Gotcha. I think so. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. It's like, why not apple? Why not cranberry? You know? And then all of a sudden, the van gets... They run through a red light after the interview, and both of the banana and tomato cars get hit by this car.
T-boned, yeah.
Yeah, T-boned. And the banana car is a bit more fine. The tomato car gets, like, demolished, which... We had to rewatch that scene twice to see how it even got hit.
Because the yellow car, right? The banana car is the one that gets T-boned, and then there's like a cut, and it shows the other car is the one that's flipping.
That's rolling, yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
How did that happen?
But if you watch it, it does. It collides with the other one, right?
Yeah, it does. Maybe.
Allegedly.
And then he finally knocks out the driver and the other bank robber, and he ends up crashing the van into the police station.
That's right.
And the chief's there.
Well, so it's weird because he finally knocks them both out, and it's just him in the van.
Yeah.
And then he throws the driver out, gets in the driver's seat, stomps on the brakes, nothing happens. And so it's like, oh, his brakes are cut, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like swerving through the city and he crashes right into the police station. But he brakes and barely stops. So I don't know.
I don't know why you couldn't brake earlier.
They're just weak. I don't know.
You know, the script wrote it for that to happen. You know,
that's kind of what you have to go with. But yeah, and then he stops, you know, inches from the, was it the captain?
I think it's either the captain or the
captain-esque
chief.
Person.
And then he gets demoted. Right there and then, basically.
Yeah, they're like...
You caused a lot of damage. You may have caught the robbers, but you caused a bunch of public damage. Now we got to pay for it. You know, basically, I almost feel like that's almost like a typical storyline now.
Yeah.
For a lot of these, like, action movies. It's like...
Almost like... I did like my superhero, job. Like, yeah.
I mean, they even refer to that, too.
They feel like... They keep calling him Superman.
Yeah. Because, like, even though Superman saves the world, he causes, like, the world all this damage. Is it really worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Just let the world go. Is basically what he was trying to... With the metaphor they're reaching for.
The metaphor.
So then he gets demoted. And one of his bosses telling me, like, yeah, you're going to get demoted. You're going to be down there for 7 months. He has to leave his position. And all of a sudden his like underlings all start cheering.
we get to leave on time. What else? I don't even remember. They had a bunch of other cheers, but...
That's the one I remember. It's just like, we get to leave on time. Woo! So then he ends up getting that. Then he goes back home to his girlfriend, too, Chloe. She's like, you made me look ridiculous. You're all on TV. I don't get to have my moment.
Yeah. It was kind of selfish, really.
Oh, yeah.
She was mad.
And then she even tests him, like, on all this stuff. And
yeah,
he,
she's
like,
do you even love me? She asks all these questions, like,
when's my birthday? Where are my dog's names? And then, like, what he gets wrong is what her favorite actor is.
Yep. And she goes, who does he say? He's like...
He says Brad Pitt.
Was it Bruce Willis?
I think it was Bruce Willis. Bruce. And then Pacino.
Al Pacino. And she's like, you said you liked him last week. And she's like, that was last week.
Just trying to prove that she didn't love him. And then she goes and tries to punch him, and she ends up doing the splits and then lands on her side and breaks her arm.
Yeah, it didn't look that bad, but she's apparently very fragile.
Yeah. Got sent to the hospital, and that was the official breakup.
Yep.
So he's down to the dumps. Almost literally, because they sent him down to the evidence room.
Which is, I assume, in a basement.
Yeah, it looks like a basement. With a vending machine, by the way.
Yep.
Vending machine's key, apparently.
Yeah, very. It's a key plot character.
Mm-hmm. Might win best character.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
So yeah, but before he's, I guess before his first day on the job, right? They're bike riding.
Oh yeah.
Him and
This is why he gets fat.
What's his name? What's the guy's name that was kidnapped in the van that's bike riding with
him? That's Shing.
Shing?
Yeah.
So they're bike riding, right? And they have some philosophical talk about taking it easy or...
Because they go with that life. Superman metaphor again.
Yep. Yeah. They're talking, you know, if Superman destroys half the world every time he tries to save it, is it even worth it? And then he's like, of course it's worth it. And he's like, you know, if I'm not out here planting trees, nobody will be able to enjoy the trees.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like kind of an uplifting moment. You know, he's just biking super hard up this hill.
And then as an engineer, he does mention who builds the roads and design the roads. You
know? Very important.
A very important detail. To some of us.
And then it kind of like jump scare, right? He like all of a sudden hits, what does he hit, a manhole?
He hits a manhole.
Which, and like launches.
And it launches the manhole too. Like the manhole flips like four times. You know how heavy manholes are?
How heavy?
Like at least 25 pounds.
Yeah.
You gotta hit that with some force.
Yeah, dude, and it was bouncing like a rubber ball. And he flies, right? And just gets launched by this manhole that was, for whatever reason, loose. Or whatever. Those darn engineers.
Yeah.
So he breaks his leg. He's in the evidence locker. And there's a vending machine right by him, you know, feet away. Yeah, you just see the snacks start dwindling down in there.
At home, he's just covered in, like, chips and everything. And we get this montage of eating, basically.
Of just junk food.
Junk food, and then him weighing himself like every day.
And you kind of see this gradual progression into the fat dragon.
Yep. Into Fat Donnie Yen, or Fat Fallon. Double F, if you will.
Our boy Double F. Getting bigger and bigger by the
bigger and bigger bag. I'm just impressed it only took 6 months.
Yeah, dude, he put on... Was it, that all it was?
Yeah.
6 months, yeah.
It was just 6 months.
And he, yeah. And they did... They did a good job making him fat. Like,
yeah, it wasn't even him really. It didn't, like, Donnie Yen, the actor, didn't get fat himself. He actually did, like, a makeup and job and fat suit. And it was really convincing.
It looks good, yeah. It's not over the top, but it looks super real.
I mean, it's not like Big Mama's House or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was going to be maybe, like, more of a one of those, like, sumo suits, you know?
Oh, yeah. He was
just, like, absurdly fat.
Yeah.
But he's, like, realistically just kind of fat.
Yeah. It's just, it's not like he's huge. It's just, yeah, he got a little belly.
What'd they say he got up to?
Like, 250 pounds?
I think it was. Yeah. 250. So he gained, put on 100 pounds, basically.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a lot.
Yeah. In 6 months. I mean, what is that? 6 divided by, or 100 divided by 6 get you, like... I don't know. 15 pounds? Yeah, about 15 pounds a month there. Impressive. That's impressive. Usually takes me a year to do that.
If ever. Yeah. Oh my God. I've been eating for years. I can never do that.
You know, that's like world record. That gotta be record, right? You know, 15 pounds a month? Shoot. Probably not, I know.
We'll say this.
Yeah. For the sake of our argument, it is.
Nobody's proven us wrong, so.
Yeah, I don't hear anyone at us, you know. You hear anyone?
Nope.
Nope, see? Silence. No, we're good. 6 months pass by, and he's, like, nonchalantly in the locker room and everything, and then Fallon gets called into the hospital where one of the people from the bank robbery got hurt. Yep. And apparently... Yep. He did some crime in Hong Kong that they need to extradite him and bring him back to Japan.
Yep.
So he needs to deliver...
Because he's Japanese.
Yeah, just because he's Japanese and he's from Japan. But he was in... Was he? No, he wasn't...
They were in Hong Kong.
Yeah, he was in Hong Kong, but I'm trying to figure out why that Japanese guy was in Hong Kong.
He was there for the movie.
But I thought he was filming that movie in Japan. That's where I get iffy here.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was. The movie was in Japan because that's where the warehouse was.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing there, but he was there.
But he was there. So they got to bring him back. He suffers some memory loss and everything, apparently.
Yeah, because he's fine, right? But there's some brain swelling that's causing some
memory
pretty
loss.
Convenient memory loss, I might add.
So he doesn't remember what he saw, I guess, or did. So then Fallon's charged with him bringing him back to Japan and bringing him back to Tokyo, making sure everything's fine. We just go.
It's like his big break, right? They're like, don't mess this up and then you can come back to your real job.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to get my job back. They fly to Japan and they meet the Japanese inspector. Endo.
Well, his girlfriend's on the plane, right?
Oh, gosh dang. Yeah, that's right. With the antagonist.
Yeah, right. The Yakuza boss.
The Yakuza guy, which I don't even think we ever get his name ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's just like Yakuza man.
Yeah, we'll just call him Yakuza man.
Yeah. Or we can call him Kuza.
The Kuza?
Kuza, yeah.
He's got that sick neck tat.
Oh, that's true.
But not your trashy neck tat.
Very intense.
Comes
guy.
Up the back of his neck.
Yeah.
It's classy.
Actually looks pretty cool.
It does.
I'm not going to lie.
Am I going to get one?
No.
No. Is it cool? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do I think Mike Tyson's tattoo is cool? Sort of.
Yeah.
You know, would I ever get it?
Did it look good on that guy in The Hangover? No.
No. Anyways, we get into the airport. And there's the detective. His name is Detective Endo. And then we get the Chinese-Japanese translator, Maggie.
Maggie.
Who speaks a ton of English, too.
And not like your typical. I feel like in a lot of these, they drop a lot of English words.
Yeah.
Like she's like full-on sentences.
Yeah, it's not English. It's English.
And
you know?
Very like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Clear. It's like, I was like, huh.
Hey, man, good for her, man. Knowing three languages, especially, yep. You know.
That's true. I guess she is a translator, but.
Yeah.
She also doesn't do that much translating at all in the movie.
That's true.
She's like there when they're talking to each other.
But then when she does do translating,
she's really bad at it.
Terrible job at it, yeah.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, now we got to deliver this guy to the police station.
So they're in the car.
Yep.
Right? Driving away. And then there's a big fart, right?
Big fart.
And that guy, the inspector, makes a big deal out of it. He's like, who was that? He's like, it's disgusting. Who farted? And they end up blaming the
Japanese director guy.
The director, yeah. So do we know what his official job is at this point?
What, Endo or the...
The director.
Oh, yeah. They tell us early on. Yeah, I'm just trying to make it just director for a while here. All
right. So he's a director. And yeah. So anyway, they end up pulling over, and they're like, they're making the guy, the director, go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's in the bathroom with the inspector, and he's like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. It wasn't me who farted. And the inspector's laughing. He's like, I know, it was me. He's like, I made you fart, or I was the one who farted. And that was his master plan, right? To get, what's his face, the director. Alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Yakuza could come in and kill him. So the Yakuza guy comes in the bathroom to kill him. What does he got? A big old knife? And then he somehow sneaks away, right? But without his pants. So he's running through the crowd naked.
Yep.
Trying to escape. And then, well, as far as we know, he gets away, right?
Yeah, he does get away.
Yeah, so.
And they just have the inspector guy start chasing him in the police car. Well, Maggie, the interpreter, gets all like, oh, that was my car.
Yep.
I guess we should put this detail in, you know. But while the kidnapping's going on, Fallon and Maggie were just talking outside of the bathroom, trying to get to know each other. You know, she's like, I'm from Chinese descent. You know, I didn't, this interpreter job's just a side job, temporary job for now. Originally, I wanted to be a tap dancer, but now I want to be a helicopter pilot. And she even does, like, the motion.
She's very into it.
You know, she's like, I'm 22, you know. Like, that's a super important detail for some reason. But...
Anyway.
And then, yeah, then that's when the chasing goes on. There's some funny moments with the guy being naked and stuff. But then he ends up somehow climbing on top of a truck.
And yeah, then right. Driving... Oh, yeah, and then they just drive off, right?
Yeah, and it just dries off.
So anyway, we lost him.
I'm trying to remember what happened next. Like, didn't Shing's brother Thor come in?
Well, so they go to the police station, right?
Yeah.
And he has to call. He has to call him and be like,
that's right.
Hey, we lost the suspect. And they're like, what? You know, the guy's like 130 pounds. How did you lose him? You know, and he's like, you had one job. You totally blew it. Right? And so he's on the phone telling him in the Japanese police station. And they all, as soon as he answers the phone, all the Japanese cops turn to look at him and just, shh. aggressively.
Yeah.
So he kind of quiets down, right? And that happens, like, what, 5 times?
Yeah, something like that.
They keep shushing him. And I don't... It was funny. I don't know if that's a...
Because everybody else is talking normally, but any time that Fallon said anything, he's shh.
Like he's in a library. I don't know.
And then he's like, trust me, the Japanese police promised that they'll find them in 2 to 3 hours.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden there's news like, yeah, we couldn't find him. We can't find him. And then his boss already knows about it because the interpreter decides to tell him that. And he's like, well, shoot.
And so then, like you were saying, then he's like, all right, my brother will help you out.
Yeah.
His name is Thor for whatever reason.
Hey, man, he's a strong dude.
He was, well, yeah. So anyway, yeah, his brother Thor, big boy.
Big boy.
Is he in other stuff, the actor?
I feel like I've seen him
in something, but I just can't pin it.
Yeah, same. I don't know, but I feel like I've seen him before for sure.
He's a big guy, big strong man.
Real entertaining too.
Yeah, super.
So yeah, we get him. He picks him up, and then he's like, "Okay, my brother said you're gonna pay me back," and he's like, "Pay you back for what?" And he's like, 20,000, like, was it yen? It had to be like 200,000 yen then.
I think he said dollars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was dollars. It was like $20,000 for his brother's last visit. Then we end up into this block in Tokyo. And we ended up seeing the Yakuza come out and try to collect a gambling debt from this lady that runs a hot pot restaurant. Yeah. For those that don't know what a hot pot is, it's basically a hot pot is that you just have this big thing of boiling water in it with a bunch of like a more of spicy seasoning, and you have a bunch of raw food around it, and you just pour in the food that it lets it cook in the boiling water. Very non-COVID friendly way of eating because it's raw and you're basically sharing this boiling water with like 5 to 6 people. It's delicious though, I'm not gonna lie. I love hot pot.
You made it yourself?
Yeah. It's delicious, man.
See, when you first told me about it, I thought it was more like a sauna with food. That didn't really make sense.
So no.
I'm glad I've learned what it actually is.
Yep, that's what it is. And it's delicious. It's so good. Anyway, the Yakuza go in there looking for money. And they start this thing with the owner lady,
mm-hmm.
which her name is Cherish? Or
it's not Charity. It's something like that.
Chastity, I think.
Is it Chastity?
No, it's not Chastity. What was her name? Okay, we gotta figure this out real quick.
We got this.
It's Charisma.
Charisma, that's what it is.
Her name is Charisma, and she owns the hot pot place, and they want the gambling debt, and she's like, okay, I'll give you some money, but then this huge fight breaks out because Thor comes running in. Trying to protect her, and then Fallon gets involved, and there's this big fight out on the streets or in the hot pot restaurant. Pretty cool fight. That's really all I got on that scene. You got anything more?
I mean, you kind of this is kind of where you see how strong Thor is, right?
He's got
3 of the Yakuza guys on him, right? And he picks them all up and throws them through the restaurant door. He earns his name, Hard Boiled.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it's lost on me, the joke, but he keeps referring to himself as Hard Boiled. And then when people ask if he's good, he's like, I'm not just good, I'm Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
I just don't know if that means he's like just a firm dude. I mean, he's just a big firm dude. He's just like, I'm in shape of an egg, and I don't know.
He could be. Yeah. He could be. And then it's also the first fight scene with Fat Donnie.
That's right. Fat Fallon. Double
and you,
F.
And I, you know, you, I thought there was going to be some, you know, a little learning curve for him when he's fat. You know, he's going to be less than before. Just as powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Just as nimble. He's like leaping up buildings and stuff.
Yeah. And
and he's like, yeah, so.
And he only mentions, oh, man, I'm tired. I should lose weight. And that was it.
And then he, like, continues fighting for another 5 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does not slow him down at all to be fat. He's just fat.
Yeah. He's just.
Just the same as before, but fat.
Yep.
Same, but fat. Same, but fat. I think we get it.
You're the one that repeated it.
I was making sure I got it.
Okay, good. So we finally figure out that that the Yakuza actually found the director guy.
Yep.
And we know that the director, he lost his memory, but he ended up recording the Yakuza hiding cocaine in fish while he was filming a, what do we say, a tasteful mermaid
fish? Nice mermaid fish love story.
Yeah. That's how we'll put it. They don't show anything explicit. I just like to say that for the most part. You know?
No, I mean, not at all.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. They just curse, you know, during the movie. That's about it.
Yeah.
You know, they just know that this guy is into tasteful filmmaking.
Yeah, he's a specific art.
Yeah.
And this one involves mermaid and fish.
Yeah. There you go. But then he recorded the Yakuza doing stuff, and then that's why Yakuza wanted him. But since he doesn't remember, they end up interrogating him. And they keep saying, lie, liar. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
They're trying to find out where he hid the evidence
of
them hiding cocaine and fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't know. He doesn't remember. And so, yeah, what they're trying to get it out of him, right, by throwing baseballs at him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're torturing him with baseballs.
It did look painful,
though. It sounds kind of ridiculous, but it was pretty horrifying, honestly. There's like 10 guys there just throwing baseballs at him full speed while he sits there. He's like just in his underwear, I think.
He was bare naked, dude. Was he? Yeah.
Just getting pelted with baseballs.
And then just gets, you know, kicked and through a wall too at the end of it.
Well, he's like trying to remember, right? And he's like, I remember. And then he says like some other stuff. He's like, I remember my mom. And they're like, what? And then right at the end, he's like, I remember. I put it in rice.
Yeah.
And then the main Yakuza guy didn't like that answer, so he runs up and kicks him in the head through the wall.
Cut
scene.
Yeah. We cut to Thor and Fallon getting to know each other, and, you know, we learn that Thor puts a cigarette in his mouth, but doesn't light it, because Charisma said that he looks cool with a cigarette, but then he...
But also
doesn't think it's cool for them to smoke it, because then they die earlier. So he just has this unlit cigarette in his mouth all the time.
And that's what he says about it. He says, you know women. He's like, you know those women, they never mean what they say.
Yeah.
So he just walks around with his unlit cigarette in his mouth through the whole movie.
Yeah. Through the entire movie, no matter what he's doing. I love it. And then we got Fallon trying to do some... Wait, do I have this?
What do you got?
I got the... Then when they go into the director's house, but I feel like...
No, they go to the dock first, right?
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
They get
thinking.
The news... Yeah. Right, they get a call that they found the director.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news, right? Good news, we found the director. Bad news is he's dead.
In Tokyo Bay, and he's bruised up and swollen. But he died from suicide.
Yep.
While high on cocaine.
Yep.
Makes perfect sense.
Classic. So, yeah, they go down to the dock, right, to inspect the body. And the inspector, captain guy, what's his name?
Endo.
And I was like, yep, classic case of suicide, you know. Nothing to see. And Fallon's like, what do you mean? He's like, he's all beat up. He's like, why would he do that to himself before he committed suicide? He's like, obviously there's some foul play.
But then we also have Maggie doing terrible translation between them.
This was actually funny. She's like the Endo or Enzo?
I thought it was Endo. I thought he wrote his name down somewhere. Give me a second.
It's Endo. It is Mr. Endo. Endo.
Yeah.
All right. So Endo, he says this long paragraph about how they found a suicide note, and you know, his injuries are consistent with suicide, blah blah blah, and then the interpreter turns and says he committed suicide.
And Fallon's like, he said way more than that. And he's like, the Japanese are very long-winded when they just mean this.
Yeah, so there's a series of those
types
of interpretations.
Yeah, freezing.
He's like, what? Why would he do that? It's freezing there. Why would he throw himself into the freezing bay? And it's like, he's not even swollen. And she's like, freezing. Anyway, this is one of those moments where you were talking about at the beginning of the podcast where it doesn't sound funny because of how we said it.
Yeah,
but
it's actually funny. And then he makes fun of the Endo's wig, too, that he wears.
Well, he keeps switching wigs. Right? He has all these different, and they're all horrible, like, toupee-esque wigs.
So bad. And then he's like, okay, your job's over. Go back to Hong Kong.
Go back to Hong Kong. But
Fallon, since he's a good cop, he's not going to do that. He's going to figure out which director's house he needs to go. Which, this is a small detail. The director is named Yuji. There's like a bajillion Yuji's in Japan. But they knocked down what Thor said. They knocked down like 30 doors.
Yeah.
And then they find the 31st door that they know is the director's house.
And they're literally knocking these doors down.
Yeah.
You know.
Kicking them in.
Fallon is kicking these doors off the hinges.
They get in the house and they're like searching through the house. And then Fallon finds the evidence phone with all the evidence on it.
In rice.
In a pillow.
Yep. Because it got wet somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said it got wet, so he had to put it in rice.
I think it's because it was raining, like when he was capturing it and stuff. So if I remember right. But then you find out that the director also has a dog.
An angry dog.
A very
German
angry.
Shepherd?
Look like it, yeah. Very German Shepherd. They just cut to the German Shepherd, and all of a sudden it starts attacking Thor. And we even saw in the post-credits stuff that they use like a puppet dog.
it's pretty funny.
Very obvious that it's a puppet dog. And I don't know, it was an entertaining scene, I'll say that, because it just ends up just going after Thor a lot. It bites Thor, and then Thor gets hit in the racket by Fallon in the face.
Well, and he's like, Fallon grabs the racket and goes to hit the dog, and then he's like, wait, that's animal abuse.
Yeah.
So he doesn't do anything, right? And then, meanwhile, Thor's just getting destroyed by this dog. And then, he finally takes a swing and just whacks
nails
Thor right in the face.
And then the dog turns his sights on Fallon, and Fallon gets him, like, into a cover because they needed to figure out how to not use a real dog. So you just throw him into like this cupboard shelf thing with like the rubber chicken noises.
Yep.
They throw him in there, and that's how they get solve the dog problem. They're like, bad boy, and then they leave that part. So they figure out, they go to like this restaurant. And there's this kid that finally unlocks the phone and is like, oh, yeah, here's the phone files.
Yeah, he's a tech genius, right?
Oh, yeah.
Somehow.
Well, you know, that's why you put in rice. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Asians come in at night and fix your phone.
Yeah, that's the kid.
Yeah, that's the kid. Yeah.
And then he fixed it. That's nice.
But only one video file was corrupted because they can't see the video file yet for screenwriting purposes.
Yep. It needed more fixing.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But they like, oh yeah, but I found out where he was last. It was at this fish market. So they go and investigate this fish market, which honestly, I think this is my favorite scene.
Absolutely.
This is like the best.
Absolutely.
Because then you figure out they get like these guest passes somehow, and you see that Fallon's old girlfriend is there. And she's actually doing like a promotion thing for the fish market, which you figure out is owned by the Yakuza. And you got Thor and Fallon looking all over the place, but Thor's the one that finds like a fish that gets dropped that has cocaine in it.
Yep. But he's not looking for cocaine. He's eating free sushi.
He wants the sashimi, man.
Yeah, it's
sashimi. He wants that sashimi. So he starts like eating this fish right from the belly, picking out all this actually looking good freaking sashimi. But he's like, man, this sashimi's so good. I'm getting like a little high from it.
Yeah, he's kind of got this like perma grin on his face, and he's like, whoa, this is awesome.
And then the Yakuza pop up behind him. Thor goes, I guess Thor figures out it's Yakuza behind him somehow. And then it just starts this gigantic fight scene with Thor throwing people around, and then this throwing the fish around while he's just high as heck. And then Fallon finally runs into him and just cue the fish market fight scene.
Fish market fight scene. And he's... Yeah, it's Fallon and Thor versus... No,
should I just do the Fallon... Fat Fallon fish fight scene.
Fish fight... Fun fish fight... fanatic.
Fantastical
fight. The fun fish. We'll get it. It's there.
Just using all the F words we can. Yeah.
We're allowed to use. Yeah. Right? Fire trucks.
But anyway, it's a really good fight scene. I can't really describe it well. I'll say that.
There's some good parts that we can describe, right?
I mean, there's one obvious one. Yeah. You know, him running, sliding, doing the splits. He does
the splits.
Goes under a table and then starts hitting these boxes at the Yakuza guys.
And it is so cool. And it doesn't sound cool. It is so cool.
It was,
I saw it and my jaw dropped. I was like, wow. It was awesome.
It was so cool. And then
you got Thor driving the forklift.
Yeah.
Right? High on cocaine. Just weaving through, right? He's just driving this forklift.
And then you got Fallon that somehow jumps on top of the forklift and he's fighting all these Yakuza as the forklift's going along. And then Thor automatically stops. So now he's sliding on this pallet across, still fighting Yakuza. It's just a cool fight scene.
It's awesome.
Oh, it's so good. And then the fight scene stops when Thor runs into where the ceremony's taking place at the fish market. And the police show up. You know, Endo's there, Maggie's there, and sort of that's when Fallon figures out they're in cahoots. You know, like, oh, okay, Yakuza and the police are...
like, they're working together.
They're working together. Yeah, we can figure that out. And then, of course, Chloe is freaking out. He's like, why you show up here? You know, because...
Ruined my promotion. Do you want no one to hire me?
Because no one hires me. This is my first international job. And just thinks that Fallon's there to sort of sabotage her career.
So... that's another thing we forgot to mention is, like, she's, like, they kind of, like, hint that she's, like, a bad actress.
Yeah.
Right? And when they're, like, fighting before they break up, Fallon's like, you're not even a good actress. He's like, this isn't even a real job. You know, not a proper job. He's like, you only have one expression. How could you be an actress with only one expression?
Such a burn. Oh.
And then he's like, oh, shouldn't have said that.
Nope.
So anyways, yeah, she's finally getting some international exposure, and then... Fallon ruins it for her.
At least that's what it seems like.
Yep.
And I know I skipped a scene between there, but I don't...
What was the scene?
Oh, what's after the fish market scene? Is it just they end up going to the police station and then Charisma picks them up. Then Charisma finally is like, hey, I got to break up with you, Thor.
Yep. I think that's it.
Okay, that's it. I mean, this is when the movie almost comes to a screeching halt.
Yep.
You know, and just goes slow and romantic.
Yep. The action's over.
Action's over.
Heroes are down and out.
You know, they've and then...
lost.
You got Fallon thinking about calling Chloe, and then he does. And he's like, hey, you want to get some ramen?
And he's like, I'll give up being
a cop. They get some ramen. They drink a bunch of sake. And he's like, all right, I'll give up being a cop so we can be together. It's all lovey-dovey and stuff. Then a random earthquake happens. I thought it was Godzilla for a second. I was really excited. I was like, okay, this is when the movie gets real good.
This is the movie. It's actually a Godzilla movie.
Yeah, and he's the fat dragon.
the fattest dragon, really.
Yeah, exactly.
No one weighs more than Godzilla.
I mean, have you seen the American Godzilla? Dude, that boy, thick.
Wow. I didn't think I'd see that reference in here.
You're welcome. Anyways, random earthquake happened.
Not Godzilla.
You're not Godzilla.
Actual earthquake. I thought it was something related to, I thought they were like, oh, it's an earthquake, and then it was going to be actually the Yakuza.
Yeah.
Just earthquake.
No, just an earthquake, which is fine.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't know, it's kind of unrealistic. It's like, there's really no earthquakes over there, you know?
There is, but...
In Japan?
Yeah.
Never have earthquakes, dude. Almost, I've never even heard of one over there.
Yeah, you mean to hear about tsunamis.
Yeah,
but
dude.
You know what causes tsunamis, right?
The ocean.
Earthquakes in the ocean.
I don't know, dude. We'll have to fact check that later.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Earthquake happens and everybody's like on the ground and then Fallon gets up and checks up on everybody. And you just see Chloe's face. Honestly, I think we both thought the same thing. That was like her falling in love face.
So, yeah, right before this, they've agreed, right, that Fallon's like, I'll quit being a cop. We can be in love again. And she's like, yeah. You mean that? That's awesome. And then earthquake, right? And then Fallon's getting up, helping everybody. And it looks like she's falling super in love with him. Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how caring he is.
But then you realize that it's actually her realizing that he can never not be a cop. That he needs to help people. So she's like, we can't be together. You just lied to me. So I'm leaving. And then you get basically... You had a bad day song playing in the background.
Which is another great point. There's a lot, all the songs in this movie are English.
Yeah.
Aren't they? And they're cheesy.
Oh, they're like English cheesy. Songs. They like are spot on with what is happening in each scene.
The lyrics are like describing.
You fell in love and walked away or something like that.
Yep.
You're welcome for my singing.
Yeah. I'll get that for free everywhere.
Every podcast you hear at least once, you know, I went Little Richard last time.
Yep. May he rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. But
Little Richard.
Yeah, so you get the sad song and you realize, I'm like, yeah, they can't be together. So she's on her way back to Hong Kong. Or, you know, going to try to go back to Hong Kong. Spoiler alert. Then it cuts to the scene where you're with the main Yakuza guy.
And his grandpa? Is it his actual grandpa?
I think it's his... I'm going to say it's his grandpa.
Okay.
We'll just say it is.
So it's his grandpa and then some other Yakuza guy. And he's like, I can avenge the fish market disaster. I just need you to sign this paper for whatever reason.
Yeah, which we don't even know what the paper is.
They don't explain it. They don't tell you why... this criminal organization would have make you sign a paper for you to do something. Who knows?
I mean, I'm just assuming it's signing over the fish market to the grandson.
So yeah, we'll go with
you
that.
You know, I don't quite I'll know. Buy it.
Anyway, it's important to him, right? He needs him. He needs the grandpa to sign the paper. And the grandpa, they don't really tell you, but he's like, he must be kind of in charge of the Yakuza.
Yeah, he's like the main boss man.
And so, but the grandpa doesn't want to sign it for whatever reason. So he signs, he goes, oh, okay, I'll sign it. And he draws a pig on the signature line.
Mm-hmm.
Very offensive.
The younger Yakuza guy just goes crazy. Just goes nuts.
And he's like, you have to sign it. And there's another guy there, right?
He's a bodyguard, I guess.
And he pulls the sword off the wall and he's like, you've gone too far. You need to leave.
Yeah.
And then the guy whose name we still don't know. Let's see.
I mean, we call him Toothpick if we want to.
Yeah, let's call him Toothpick. A little foreshadowing there.
Yeah. What is this? Oh, that's him right there. Shimakura.
Shimakura? Yep.
Shimakura is his name. So, we're going to go with the Yakuza guy. Unless want us to say Shimakura every time, which I'm fine with.
Yeah, we'll go with the...
Or we can say as wise possible.
Shimakura?
Shai Mei Kaku, and then Ra. So, Shimakura.
Shimakura?
No, Shimakura.
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 Anyway.
Sorry.
Anyway, he goes crazy.
It almost looks like he gets almost like drunk on power at that point.
He is. Like, he's kind of like his turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
Right? He's lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got the sword above the bodyguard, right? And he's like, sign the paper or I'll kill him. And then he kills him anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And then the grandpa's like, oh my goodness, what happens? And then he kills the grandpa too, which I did not expect.
No, he just like slices him.
I think he just cuts his head off, right?
Yeah.
You don't see it, but...
No.
And then he sits there and he's drinking... Was he drinking sake?
Well, they just sake? Like do all these fast, quick edits of him like doing, like drinking sake, going like doing some crazy head stuff and everything. Like, it's really crazy editing that's going on just to show that he's like in the deep end now.
Yep.
You know, and then I don't know how long he's there, but then Chloe decides to say good afternoon.
She's saying bye before she leaves, right?
Yes.
She's like, pops in, goodbye, and sees the two
dead bodies. The two dead bodies.
She's like, oh, all right.
I gotta go.
So she tries to run away, right? Obviously.
But Shimakura gets her. Yeah.
And then they actually have a little fight scene.
Yeah, they do. It's not bad, actually.
No, she's actually... There's one good scene. He punches her in the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she pretends she's knocked out. And then he comes up and then she kicks him, right, and tries to run away again. And she's like, what? She's like, I'm an actress. You didn't think I could act?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, it sort of cuts, and you just sort of assume that they get her. And then...
And then he... What is the next scene? He takes her to the top of the tower?
Well, there's, like, another fight scene between there.
Which is?
Which is they're back in, like, in the stores, and when Thor actually looks at the phone because the video got unlocked.
Oh, yep.
He's like, oh my gosh, this has evidence against Yakuza. It says it really loud.
Yep.
And then, for some reason, his employee...
The chef or something?
Yeah.
Sushi chef?
Yeah, his chestnut chef.
That's right.
Steals the phone saying, I'm going to get rich off of this. And then Charisma comes out with the pot, hits him in the head. And then she gets the phone. And now they're running away. And there's this huge fight scene. Again, we're using huge very loosely on this podcast today. Or at least I am. Thor ends up fighting against all these Yakuza guys. And he gets sliced up like 3 times.
Oh, like bad. Yeah. He gets stabbed like in the liver or something.
Yeah, he gets stabbed like in the stomach. Yeah.
Like deep.
Yeah. And then Fallon shows up after he gets stabbed. And I don't know. I like one of the moves he uses, the 7-Eleven sign.
Yeah, he's the wheel on the wheels.
Yeah.
He's wheeling back and forth and just beating them all up.
Yeah. You know, and then you got Fallon on the rooftops fighting all these Yakuza guys while they're throwing bottles at him.
Yep.
And
and there's that one, he kicks that guy off the roof, and then he like breaks his back on the thing. It was really dark. I was like, it was all lighthearted till then, and then I was like,
thought he was just like almost like injuring people. You know, you thought he took like the Batman oath.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll just cripple them for life.
But now they're just like he's out for blood. He even says like, all right, no one's getting away from me this time.
Yep.
Then the fight ends, and Mr. Endo and Maggie show up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Donnie confronts him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know you're working with the Yakuza.
He's like, where's your evidence?
Go back to Hong Kong. And then Maggie films him?
Films him, like, going off of this tirade on how he is part of the Yakuza. He's like, you have nothing to stop me. You know, basically, like...
Classic bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy... chirping away. Maggie records him. He's like, you're fired. He's like, I quit anyway. Ends up being like this little mini chase scene with... I was like confused who was chasing who for a second.
Yep.
Because Mr. Endo was chasing Maggie for a bit. Then Maggie's like, all right, I want to fight you now all of a sudden.
Yep. And then she's like, yeah, run away.
Run away. And then Mr. Endo gets run over by a van and just dies.
And not like... Yeah, it's not like a... Oh, he got... hit. It was like he's like obliterated into smoke, and all that's left of him is his terrible wig.
Yeah, and that's it.
And he dies. That's it.
And then Fallon gets a call from Shimakura, the Yakuza guy, and you see that Shimakura is like on the Tokyo Tower. I'm like, of course, if it's in Tokyo, it has to be on Tokyo Tower. It's like if you have anything set in Paris, it has to end at the Eiffel Tower. You know, that's basically the equivalent. It really is. Fallon's like, okay, we're going to Tokyo Tower. Swipe. We get to freaking Tokyo Tower.
Yep.
And you see all the restaurant employees are basically tied up. Yep. And then Shimakura just shoots Fallon.
Yep.
Just shoots him.
So he walks up, to confront him, right? And then he just shoots him. This is the only gun violence we've seen in the whole movie so far, right?
The bank robbery, sort of.
Yeah, they had guns, but they didn't even use them, were they?
Well, they were shooting at Fallon.
Oh, they were.
They didn't kill anyone, though.
But so, and then you see Fallon shot twice in the chest.
Yeah. But it only scratched the surface somehow. I think it was supposed to be a fat joke there.
Is that what the joke was?
I think it was.
I thought they were going to. I kind of forgot about that. I thought they were going to reveal that he had a bulletproof vest or something.
But... Yeah, I thought they were going to go Back to the Future on that, yeah.
But, then they never did. And he was just alive because he's fat?
Because he's like, I just hit the surface. So I think it just means he's thick.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I think it was supposed to be a joke, but I think it got lost in the translation, honestly.
Anyway, he's fine. Right? And his girlfriend's over. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? What's his name?
Shimakura.
He's like, why do you like this fatty anyway? Why do you like this big fat fatty?
Yeah.
He's fat. Why could you love him? He's fat.
They really bring it home now that he's
like,
fat.
They're like, the first time he's been roasted for being fat, I think.
Yeah.
They're like, he's so fat, how could you love him? And she's like, well, I love fat guys.
You're just a toothpick.
You're just a little toothpick. And they're holding up their pinkies. You're so skinny, like a little toothpick.
And then he just gets angry, and they end up going to this fight scene. We see Chloe get ragdolled a few times.
Well, right after that, I think, ready, he goes up and he kicks Shimakura.
Yeah.
Right? Kicks him, right? And then he rainbow kicks his gun up to him.
Yeah.
And then he just murders the other Yakuza guys.
Oh, that's right. Like, another, we get like five of them. We get like a POV shot on top of the gun, like, too.
Yeah, first person shooter. Doom.
I mean, I'm like, wow.
Hilarious slow motion. What would you call it? It's not a rainbow kick, but he kind of like puts the gun between his legs and then kicks it up behind him.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was funny.
Yeah, because he's so cool when he does that. And then he just takes all the Yakuza guys. I don't know what happened to his gun when he gets to Shimakura, though. Does Shimakura just kick it out of his hand or something at that point?
I don't know. I kind of remember what happens to the gun.
Yeah, the gun disappears.
And then what happens? So now they're fighting, right?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Chloe's getting ragdolled, right? She's almost like a prop, right? He's like carrying her around, swinging her to hit Shimakura. And then he puts her in a chair and kicks her out of the way of the violence, right? And then she runs.
Shinsuke knocked out by it. Like, gets hit into this corner of like a booth.
And then end overs and just whacks her head, and then that's it.
I don't know why I found that scene so funny, or that part so funny.
You did, you loved it.
It's just because how she ragdolled was just so extreme.
It was harsh.
I'm like, ugh. But then they're still fighting, then she wakes up mid fight again, and then Fel ends up falling on her, and he's just trying to protect the punches, and then she punches Shimakura, and they just keep fighting for a while.
This is a very extremely long one-on-one fight. They're just out on the Tokyo Tower.
Yeah,
fighting.
I don't know how they ended up outside. I think just Fallon decided to go outside.
Yep.
You know, and it's just a super long fight scene with crud. What are those knife weapons called? I always forget what they're called. It's the same ones that Raphael uses in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Starts with a sh.
Yeah, I can never remember what they're called. She's no, Kai's no. So it is Sai. Yeah. Sai.
Yep, ninja size.
Yeah, ninja size. Okay.
Anyway,
I was close. Not really, but so yeah. So Shimakura is using Sai's, and then Fallon's using his hands for the most part, but then gets nunchucks later on
because Chloe chucks them at him.
Yeah,
full speed, and it looks. I don't know if that's supposed to be funny or if it's just bad editing, but it looks like she's going to throw him off the tower.
Oh, it just looks like she misses, for sure.
And then he just, like, it cuts over to him and he just snags it with one hand.
Yeah. We get him, finally, this is where the Enter the Fat Dragon comes in, because all of a sudden they decide to make him be like Bruce Lee and go, Wata! And everything.
He does all the same moves as Bruce Lee, yeah.
He, like, even does, like, the movements and everything, and, like, even the cockiness, and even does, like, the little, nose sniff and stuff.
Yep.
But then, for some oddball reason, I still don't understand why this helicopter comes out of nowhere.
It doesn't do anything?
It doesn't do anything. Maggie knows that they're there. She somehow gets the guy from Hong Kong, Shing.
True.
Thor's brother and Fallon's boss to get over there.
And then they're flying in a helicopter.
And she's only had her helicopter license for one day, so she's terrible at it.
Horrible.
So to add more suspense to the scene, she somehow keeps the helicopter right above.
She's like the rotors
fight.
Keep hitting the tower, but it's not going down for whatever reason.
Yeah, the rotors aren't getting torn off. It's just like, it's this fake drama, you know? It's just like, oh yeah, now they gotta fight crouched. And we're probably... We literally, I think we said this scene took almost half an hour.
It's the longest fight.
It's so long. Some parts were cool, but it just feels like they tried to cram so many different things into this one fight scene. I'm not sure if you wanted to try to describe it more before I skip ahead.
But... Nope, I think that's kind of like, you know, are you going to describe the finale?
Yeah, go for it. You go for it.
No, so I guess I don't even know, what is the end of the fight? Fallon finally beats him, right?
So
he finally knocks him out.
Yeah, he just knocks him out. He punches him in the face after, you know, he's like, oh, I'm a toothpick. You call me a toothpick.
Yeah, so he gives up, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, I won. And then he turns around to go face his lover.
Yeah.
And then she's like, look out, because he, you know, of course he cheated.
Yeah.
He gets up, and then Donnie turns around, punches him, and then he just falls over and knocks.
He punches him, and then he does, like, the really fast punch in the stomach, and then he's like, ugh.
And then that was it. That's the end of Shimakura.
Yeah, it's the end of Shimakura. Kumara. Shimakura. And then Chloe gets, like, this really weird face. You know, she looks just, like, super angry. You know, she has this scowl stuff. Yep. Then runs to Fallon, grabs him, almost puts him over the edge.
She's hanging him half off, right? And he's just the look of terror in his eyes, right? He's like, she's crazy.
Yeah. And then she just kisses him right there. Super aggressive.
Very romantic.
Almost like reversal of roles there.
Yeah.
I think it was a good change, but...
Yeah, man.
But then, you know, the helicopter's still in the air, drops the ladder.
And they're like, you know, the Japanese police are coming. They'll interrogate you till the end of time if you don't get out of here. And so, you know, I thought they were going to climb up the ladder.
Yeah.
So they grab one hand on the ladder, and the helicopter just rockets off. Just like, whoosh. I was like, oh, kind of made me uncomfortable out there. Like, it wasn't even there.
They're just getting swung around. And you just, it panders on the scene for like a minute of just the helicopter going back and forth.
And they're just swinging on the ladder. Swinging on the ladder. Hanging on with one hand.
And they're like making out while on the ladder, you know. It's
very romantic.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, that's when it goes to credits, huh?
Yep.
And then we get sort of the closure, sort of, yay, actually Fat Donnie, or Fat Fallon, gets married with Chloe. And Thor and Charisma and the kid are together. Yep. And then we figure out Maggie and Shing are together.
Yep.
But Maggie's, like, doing, like, fighting classes and kicking Shing's butt.
Yep.
All the time. And that's what you get. That's
that was it. That was kind of, that was how the movie ended. And those were just, those were like credits scenes.
Almost. Yeah, those were like just credit photos, you know. Yeah. And then they give you the behind the scene things like they usually do. Yeah. Like
how they made him fat.
Yeah. And then like sort of like how the Jackie Chan scenes do it, or Jackie Chan movies. Yeah. They show you like the outtakes. And
actually, they built like the, you know, when they went to Tokyo, they like built the Tokyo city.
Yeah.
It was like a set. It was really cool, actually.
Yeah, I think I liked that a lot. It was good. All right, now for our awards. I think the first one I'm going to go with is Most Notable Effect. I guess I'll go with mine first. My most notable effect was definitely the dog, because it just looked terrible. It looked like the most... So it looked like a normal dog at the first shot, and then all of a sudden this puppet just makes it look like the most rabid dog ever.
Well, and it was like a normal dog, right? They have the normal dog charging.
Yeah.
Right? And then they cut, jump cut, and then it's just like this horrible rabid, like puppet.
This rabid looking puppet, which it just looked like it was like a coyote at that point, I think. And he's like, and it was bad, but it was still enjoyable. Because then even when like Donnie Yen was fighting with it, you know, you could tell when it's like those typical scenes when they're like struggling with the animal, they're actually moving the animal with themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh. Like, get it off me. Yeah. Like, really, they're shaking it. It was funny.
And it's just that dog. It was so bad.
So bad it's good, right?
So bad it's good. All right, what's your effect?
Mine was the when they're riding the bikes and they hit the manhole when he breaks his leg. Just because it's out of nowhere, right?
I like how they have like a drone shot on it.
Yep, too. That's exactly what it is. They're kind of like, well, it's like uplifting, you know, and then they're kind of like drone shot, you know, it's like going to show, you think the scene's going to end, and then it's like, nope, he's going to hit this manhole and fly 40 feet and then launch the manhole cover. It was something. It was a surprise.
Because, he's who's going to do the trees? He's doing the construction, and then the manhole just flies, and he flies.
Yep.
Out of nowhere.
Very memorable.
All right, I think our next one will be... You want to do fight with favorite part next, or you want to do...
Yeah, let's do fight.
Okay, let's do fight. All right. I guess I'll go first
again. Yeah, hit me with it.
My favorite fight, I think, other than the fish market, is is the van fight scene. The van... Just the beginning van fight scene was... It was pretty funny. and just how it was like in close quarters, and Eric's coming out with knives, and he's just taking out everybody. And then you got the Tomato and Banana News Network recording alongside it. I mean, it's a really long fight scene still, but it was entertaining. And it is how the driver just keeps going on for some time, even though getting shot, stabbed, and almost knocked out.
He keeps getting knocked out, and then he wakes up, and he immediately starts driving.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his only job, he's like dead. And he wakes up, and he's like, oh, I drive.
Yep. And it's a good scene. And I guess my favorite part would be the Banana Tomato. You know, when he's like, oh, we got to extend this fight longer. Gives him the hammer, just starts hitting Fallon with the hammer. I'm like, oh my gosh.
What about
B-dubs?
B-dubs. Send it to overtime. Yeah. One thing we didn't mention too is when when it's just the driver and the one Yakuza bad guy left.
Oh, yeah.
And then he rips his shirt off. He takes his jacket off.
He's like, that's my brother.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he hulks out. He takes his jacket off and then he rips his shirt. It's like, oh, okay, this guy's serious.
And then it ends up, like, almost cutting to him getting beat so fast.
Yeah, it does. He like, grinds him along the wall, and then he
just throws him into the stick shift, breaks the stick shift, I guess, which breaks the brakes. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah.
That was the only weird part, but... all right, what's your favorite fight?
So then my was the classic, the fish market.
Oh, you gotta do the fish market.
It was so cool. It's an awesome fight scene. And then it's a good fight scene, right? And then he's running and he does the splits and goes under that table. It's so cool. And then he starts punching the boxes into the Yakuza.
So cool.
Very cool. And then it's a pretty long fight scene, but it's all really cool in the warehouse. And they have the forklift.
Yeah,
they do lots of cool stuff with the forklift.
Yeah, they got like almost like a few factors. You got Thor at the beginning fighting them with the fish. And then you got Fallon doing his moves with, I think, does he do stuff with fish too? I don't quite remember. But with the boxes, the forklift, and it's pretty cool.
It's cool.
It's really cool. So I guess the next one we'll go to is notable character. I'll let you go first on this one. I haven't quite decided yet. I'm not sure if you did.
It was tough, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of
this one was tough.
There's lots of good characters. I think it was tough. I had a toss up. I'll let you choose yours first before I choose my second one.
Okay,
but,
fine.
But my first one is, I think, Thor.
I think that's a general consensus.
He's so funny, and he's kind of just like a big lovable teddy bear.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's kind of doofy, but he also like tears it up in the fights.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like a good guy, though, you know?
He's a good guy. He's like this big, lovable dude. Hard-boiled.
Yeah, all hard-boiled. But, yeah.
So I guess we'll go second character, because I think we both love Thor. Thor's great.
He's the crowd favorite.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Maggie,
actually. That was my second. Yeah, nice, dude. That's what I didn't say.
Maggie is so funny. And, like, even because she curses a lot in English.
Yep.
And, you know, just sort of how she's like almost an over-expressive character.
Extremely over-expressive. Yeah.
You know, her tap dancing and then doing all the movements and stuff. And then when she's talking to Shing on the phone, she's like, oh, you sound so cute. And, yeah, you know,
she's like, no, I went to Tokyo University.
I didn't go to the University of Beijing.
Yeah.
And then just her interpretation skills were lacking and just cut everything short. She's like, it's freezing, and she's pretty good. And then when she wanted to start fighting Mr. Endo too, you know, she was almost doing like the old time
like
boxing,
the old bare knuckle.
Yeah. Maggie was great. She cracked me up. And then of course her lack of helicoptering skills.
Yeah, that, and she almost crashed during that too. She had
like three times.
It was going down.
Yeah.
Like, and then she somehow saved it.
Yeah. And again, she didn't break any of the blades and somehow was able to get her helicopter license in a day and still couldn't fly it. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, whatever. We accept it. So do you have anyone other than Thor and Maggie? I guess you could only really go with, like, I wouldn't pick you, Shimakura.
No.
Honestly, he's just too intense.
Very intense.
You know. I think you'd only have like Chloe and maybe Shin, but
Shin. Oh, Shin was pretty funny.
He was pretty funny.
He's just not in it that much.
No.
And then, I mean, you got Skinny Donnie and Fat Donnie. But
yeah, you got both.
They're good. And then,
I mean, I guess you go with the director, Yuji. But he's not in it much either. I mean, he does have a couple good scenes, you know. But yeah, there's actually
not that many.
I mean, because Charisma's barely in it, really. Yep.
The kid's barely in it.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't even know what the kid's name is. We just call him the kid. We thought he was like the son at first. Apparently he's nephew.
Yeah, yeah.
Not an important detail.
Yeah, it was kind of like a
sort of shoot in, it felt like.
Yeah. But they do tell us his name, though. It's Billy.
It is Billy?
Yeah, Billy the Kid.
I didn't even catch that.
Got him.
I guess we sort of just had each other's first and second best characters, so moving on.
Yeah, nice little segue into. Yeah,
so we actually decided to do a special award for this one named Best Joke. And I legit couldn't pick one joke. I just picked almost an entire scene.
Nice. Let's hear it.
So I just picked the one where Skinny Fallon, or Skinny Donnie, however you want to call him, fights with Chloe after he misses the wedding photos and, like, after the van fight scene. And they just get in this huge fight, and it's just her complaining and then him sort of bagging on her career. But then he's like, you only have one expression in your entire repertoire, even though he's still watching her movies and knows them by heart. But, and then just her questioning him on if he knows her.
Yep.
And then just trying to, like, pull off. He's like, dang it, you know everything. How about my favorite actor? That one cracked me up. Especially, you know, I mean, I know this is going to sound a little racist, but it's okay. How they say Brad Pitt and Al Pacino. Is that Pacino? Brad Pitt?
I didn't notice that.
Dang it. See, that's that's not good. You didn't notice it and I didn't.
That's funny.
So yeah, that's my favorite joke, which is mainly a whole scene.
There's a lot of jokes in there.
Oh, yeah. So.
Right on.
Which one's yours?
I think my favorite was at the beginning, right before the bank robbery.
Mm-hmm.
When there's the guy, he's in his car, right? He's not a main character at all. He's in his van, parked in front of the bank. And he's trying to light a cigarette.
So I think that was the bank robber. He was supposed to be the getaway man.
That's why his car gets towed?
Yeah.
That makes it even funnier. That's awesome.
Yeah, because that's why, like, they get into the other van.
That's why they have to.
Yeah.
That's funny. That is funny. I'm glad I chose this one. We all learned something new today. So he's the getaway driver, right? And he's trying to light his cigarette, but his lighter's out. So he gets out and he asks Shin?
Yeah.
He asks Shin, he's like, can you light my cigarette? And he's like, no, man, you got to go to the 7-Eleven on the corner. So he's like, all right. So he's gone a comically long amount of time to light his cigarette, which is apparently super important. And so his car or his van ends up getting towed.
And that tow truck was there fast.
And it was there, yeah. They were ready to tow. So then he's running after. He's like, no. And so, and yeah, now I'm glad I know that they put that in there because he was the getaway driver.
Yeah, so that's why they stole the police car.
I gotcha. Nice. This shows you how attentive I am.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Overall, this movie is pretty enjoyable.
It's actually really enjoyable. Yeah. I thought this was if you like kung fu movies,
yeah.
this is a very good kung fu movie.
Yeah, good.
Or martial arts movie, I guess.
Martial arts. Yeah, and it's, like, good and cheesy. It goes fast and hard with the jokes, but then it has also really good action
super
sequences.
Good action scenes, and it's, like, you know, it's pretty, yeah. It's family-friendly, it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's some good, like, adult humor.
Would you say family-friendly, though? I don't know. It curses a lot. They do say. I guess
maybe not for, like, young kids.
Well, I mean, I guess with today's TV standards, it's fine. Because, you know, they just say the S word, which is fine on TV now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you should go with that. it's good to go, and yeah.
It's a good, but it's high quality, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, and it's not ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was just released this year. I don't remember how I saw a preview of it. I just saw a preview of it. I'm like, we need to do this.
Yep.
We need to do this, because there's Donnie Yen in it, and he's in a fat suit. That seems pretty funny. I think it'd be, I was like, I did expect it to be sort of bad, though, too.
Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be way worse. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. So,
Highly recommend.
I know we say we wipe one bad movie at a time, but I guess we'll just say we wipe one movie away at a time.
One bad review of the movie.
Yeah, there you go. Well, so the next film that we'll be going over is sort of an older film, and it's on Netflix, and it's called The Five Venoms. And the quick synopsis of this is that there's this master guy, and there's these five dudes that are called the Five Venoms, and they all want money. That's legit the synopsis.
There you go.
So hopefully you guys tune in for the next one, and I guess that's it for us.
Right on.
All right.
See you when we see you.
Yeah, no kidding. Start recording anyway, and then we'll go from there. You just want to make some noise, huh? I hate that I can hear you gulp.
Mm-hmm. You can eat when I go.
Yeah, I can hear that.
A little ASMR for the viewers.
Start recording, and I'll let you know when I'm ready.
Chili donuts. Squashed it.
Yeah.